All right, I'm going to keep this simple.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Stassi. I'm Stassi Schroeder-Clark.
Let's do this.
Y'all, this is a moment. I have something to show you.
What?
You guys, Caitlin Bristow's here with me. This is 9 years coming.
Yeah.
I have to show you.
Oh, God.
Two tweets. Okay. I'm going to show you this one. February 12th, 2015. At Caitlin Bristow, please be my friend.
Oh!
Also with my other friend, Taylor Strucker. We took a selfie. Why we weren't smiling? Why? Like, the
you
selfie
so
is
sultry.
So fucking weird.
It was 2015.
It is so weird.
Wait, that's so funny. I know exactly that point in the TV show that you took this.
Okay.
It was when I was like, I got the rose and I'm drunk.
Okay.
You probably were
so
like,
I was like, that's my girl.
I'm obsessed.
Oh, there's another one. This
Wait,
one.
I love this.
This is June 29th, 2015. Let me read it and then I'll hand it to you.
Okay.
If Caitlin is so scared of birds, then why does she have them tattooed on her arms? Hashtag, I'm getting a spider tomorrow. Hashtag, the bachelorette.
Wait, that's so funny.
Wait.
That is, if I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me that.
I thought that I was like the first to think of it.
Well, you might have been, and then people just jumped on board with asking me the same question.
No, the way my podcast started off is like a bachelor recap podcast. I was the first, basically.
No, I remember this. I remember this because I think something, you said something that wasn't very nice.
About you?
No, but in a funny way. Like, and I remember being like, I want her to like me.
Are you sure?
It wasn't like, I don't like Caitlin. It was something like actually funny.
Because I'm tweeting at you to be my friend. So it just like doesn't sound like it would fit with the narrative.
No, it wasn't. I wish I could go back and find it. It was literally a 2 second funny thing you said and I thought you didn't like me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that 9 years you've been living with that. You've been carrying that cross, that burden.
Yes, this whole time. Wait. I even tattooed about it. It's on my
Two things. Why? I just want to get the tattoo thing out of the way. Okay, like.
Yes.
I know you've probably had to answer this question a million times.
I'm glad I can answer this for you.
But answer it for me right now. Why the fuck do you get what you're scared of tattooed on your body?
I was so drunk when I got these tattoos and it was my ex high school sweetheart that tattooed them on me. And we were out one night and it was right before I was dating this guy. I was about to move to Germany to be with him.
What?
Yes.
Did you end up moving to Germany?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a big deal, I'd say.
It really was. I thought this was the one.
Okay.
And so before I was having this like huge, like say goodbye to friends party.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still like good friends with my high school buddies. And so we were all out and then my ex was there and he's a tattoo artist. And he was like, you should let me tattoo like something before you go. And I was like, okay. So at 3 a.m, we went to his studio and I was like, I want something that's like, I'm obsessed with, this is really weird, but like pirates and mermaids.
Okay.
And
no, I love this. I didn't expect you to go there because we're talking about fucking birds
and
right now.
In another lifetime, I wanted to be like a sailor.
Okay.
And so he was like, oh, the sparrows on your arms would look cool. That's like a sailor badass tattoo that people get. And I was like, okay. And then, so he was just going to do it on one arm. And then I was like, do it on both. And then that was that.
And you didn't think for a second, I have a fear of birds.
I didn't until the next day. I was like, oh, that's stupid.
It's like me tattooing a murderer on my arms. I was just trying to think
clown.
Of like things that I'm scared of. You know, like I am scared of getting murdered. It's like tattooing a murderer.
But I'm not scared of them, like
unbranded.
A photo of them. Mm-hmm. And I liked the meaning because I was about to fly very far away and they are the only bird that remember how to fly home. And I just, I had moved away from home. It seemed like it all was just making beautiful sense. And I don't have it. Like if you showed me a picture of a murderer, I'd be like, that's terrifying. But if you show me a picture of a bird, I'd be like, that's beautiful.
Okay.
It's the bird that when it's flapping.
It's the pigeon.
It's the pigeon, the rat of the sky with wings and flapping. And that is what I do not
okay,
like.
Okay. So Caitlin, I fully in 2015, I didn't understand the fear of birds.
Mm-hmm.
Then also my friend Jackie Schimmel, she has a fear of birds too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it. And then one time I was in Paris.
Oh, and now you have it.
Oh, I fully have it. I was bare legged. I wasn't wearing pants. I was wearing some sort of short situation.
Nope.
Ballet flats, sitting at a cafe.
Chic.
And the flappage.
Yeah. Oh, it touched you?
All through my legs. And it changed me forever.
You know how I was cold right before this? I'm sweating.
You're sweating. Yeah.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
Yes. And it was a traumatizing experience. And I yelped.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I screamed. It was more of a yelp.
Yeah.
And there were French people right next to us that were like, it's just a bad. It's just a bad. And I will never forget it. And now I'm scared of birds too.
I feel very seen and validated and heard. And thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, cheers to your tattoos.
God, I mean,
I've waited a long time
I'm glad that we could uncover that today, but I don't love them anymore.
Really? So would you get your tattoos removed?
No. This is a choice I made and it's something you have to live with.
How do you even know if you like them or not? You can't see them.
I only discover that I don't like them when I see a photo from behind.
Can I see them again? Turn around. I've never seen them in person. I actually kind of like them. They look so retro.
Okay, they do feel like old school.
Yeah, they look like a sailor would have those. Yeah, no, like 100%. Like,
thank you.
A drunken sailor.
Yeah. Yes, that's everyone's doing the
fine
line
stuff now. That's your new
aesthetic. Sailor.
I've been trying to figure out like people's new aesthetics and what their aesthetic is. You're a drunken sailor.
Like nautical.
But drunken.
Drunk nautical.
And I mean that in a good way because not in like you're a mess. I just mean like you're more fun. Nautical can be really buttoned up and
stuffy. Not that.
Yeah. You know, when people adopt the nautical style,
I'm a drunk
you
nautical.
Are like you're fun nautical, but the word fun
naughty
isn't
nautical.
As fun.
Naughty nautical.
There. We got there. Naughty nautical.
That's my era.
That's you.
Yes, naughty nautical. Okay, I'm gonna lean into that.
You have to make TikToks about it.
I'm gonna blow do a vision
up.
Board.
Yes,
Pinterest,
manifest that shit.
Yes.
Did you?
I'm gonna start a brand.
Naughty nautical.
Boom. You
did
can get 2%.
Did you do your human design test?
I did.
You did.
I'm confused. All I needed to do is put in my birth date and time and place I was born.
Yes,
I got it.
And I want to know.
So what? I'm just going to let you take a look because I don't know what this is telling me. That chart is very confusing.
Generator. I would have said manifesting generator. I would have guessed manifesting generator. I don't know that much about generator. I don't know that much about the human design test. I just know that that's what I mean. I just know that there are different ones.
What does a generator mean? You just told me you don't know.
You're more capable than I am.
What?
Like, you're more capable.
Of what?
Like, you can get shit done. Whereas, like, I can think of things.
Oh, like, but you don't execute?
I don't execute well.
I don't think I know either.
Well, maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's not the good website.
But I guess I am if, like I said, okay, don't freak out.
Okay.
But I definitely just am
seeing a spider
crawling into the blue curtain.
Okay, that's really far away. I don't give a shit.
Okay, cool. You see it though?
It's a bug.
Oh, it's a bug.
Yeah,
like a stink bug?
It couldn't be more far away.
Well, I didn't know how big your fear was. If there was a bird that far away, I'd be freaking out.
Okay, well.
Anyways.
That one's harmless.
I could be a generator if I said this, I think we said this on my podcast, but like if I really want something.
Right.
But if it's just like I'm really bad at coming up with the idea, I guess that's what it is.
Then maybe that's what it is.
Okay, that's what it is.
I feel like I have lots of ideas, but I don't know how to carry them out. And then I get bogged down in like the idea.
I do get very overwhelmed easily by execution.
Well, doesn't everyone though? Don't most people get overwhelmed?
I think so.
Easily.
I like to think I'm not alone in that.
Naughty nautical, not alone. Now it's all I can think about.
We're just like going to brand this whole podcast.
Wait, hold on. Before we get into like any talk, can I just say like, it's kind of strange and weird that I've had a podcast for 9 years where I talked about you a lot in the beginning.
Yeah.
And you've had a podcast for so long and we have never
it's really weird.
Done each other's podcasts.
I don't know why though.
I was thinking about it. So like, I've like literally spent like the last 24 hours being like, why didn't we do this? And I have an answer as to like in the beginning why we didn't. So in the beginning, when I started my podcast, 2015, those first few years, I always felt, and I'm curious to see how you feel about this, that Bachelor people looked down on Vanderpump Rules people.
What?
Like, no, it was a thing.
Really?
Us Vanderpump Rules people would talk about it. Like, when we would go to like an event or a party, like we just felt like
bachelor people and not felt everyone, like superior.
Superior, yeah. And so I feel like I just didn't ask you to be on my podcast because I probably didn't feel worthy.
I am one of the most humble people. I literally never feel worthy of, I probably didn't think you were, I thought you were not asking me because I was not worthy of your time.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
So y'all never had that vibe where it was like, oh, those are the Vanderpump Rules kids. They blah, blah, blah.
If I'm being completely honest, I don't think I knew what Vanderpump Rules was then.
Okay.
I knew who you were.
Why?
Because
I'm a star.
Because you're a star. Because you were a generator of our generation. What is, I don't know what that means. You were just like a, like you had a podcast and a social media presence. And like I knew, but I didn't know the show. And so I don't think I even knew what Vanderpump was till like a few years ago.
Then maybe it wasn't you because I've never like ran into you at a, out where you would be able to look down on me actually. But like I would run into other people and it was just always the vibe that we got. And there were so many bachelor people that I remember and now like I don't even know where they're at.
It's but so
like,
funny.
They would like literally go to a party like with a full blown entourage of like a team all around them. Like they couldn't be alone. It was just like it was diva-y behavior. And we were just like fucking thankful to be there in our Forever 21 dresses.
That's so, you know? I love that though, because I would have been right there with you guys. I felt that from bachelor people sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I got, I've never really been to all the events that they go to, like these iHeart things. And like, they're like, there's the usual suspects that always go.
Yeah.
And I just have never, and that even made me feel insecure sometimes because I'm like, why am I not going? It's because I just wasn't trying to go.
Yeah. I would argue that you are the most successful Bachelor Nation person.
Wow, that's really
like
kind.
I can't think of, like, you've superseded that. Like, I don't need, like, as when I was writing about you, like, but like putting Bachelor and the Bachelorette was like the last bullet point on the like your bio. Do you know what I mean? Like that in my brain.
I feel like, who's I talking about? Kristen Cavallari. She was like, bachelor people think they are like the tits when they're at these events.
Yeah. Okay. So Kristen Cavallari even feels this way?
I remember her telling me that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like a thing. I'm not crazy.
No, you're not.
I'm not crazy.
It's because that show,
It's like overnight success. It's overnight fame.
And people get that little taste of that drug of being famous.
Yeah.
And some people like it and some people are like obsessed with it and some people hate it. I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like I was meant to do it. I like meeting people. I like taking pictures of people. I like having like my name as a something.
Yeah,
I like building a brand around it, but I didn't love it to the point where I was like, I want to be seen. I want to call the paparazzi. I want to like, I saw other people that I really liked go down that road and it scared me because I do like attention.
Listen, we all like a little attention.
Yeah, if you're on reality TV, you like
you have
attention.
To like it a little bit.
Yeah, you got to like it a little bit.
Yes.
But it scared me to go down like a slippery slope of like being obsessed with it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. See, that makes sense because with Vanderpump Rules, I feel like it was like a slow burn.
Yeah.
Like it was successful right away.
Yeah.
But we didn't feel that. Like we still were working at a restaurant.
Right.
Trying to pay our bills. And like we were literally just like, what?
That's so crazy.
So we didn't. It's taken us a really long time to realize that our show was successful and to like feel like we were like cool or anything like that. And so maybe that's the difference.
But I like that.
I mean, it sets you up for being a better human.
Yes, because the Bachelor franchise, like if you don't actually do something with it and like build something around it, it's you get chewed up and spat out. And it's like a really, I feel like, challenging place to go after if you don't get a good supportive team around you and have good people around you and like want good things for yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like it becomes a very dark place.
Do you think the age of like reality show influencers is dying?
Yeah.
Because I can't think of any new ones now that
I think like, it's always going to go through like these phases. Like right before I went on, I don't feel like Instagram was even really a thing.
Like I mean, it was becoming it.
It was becoming a thing.
Yes.
It was really a thing when I went on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the power it was going to have.
Right.
so now I think people, yeah, I just think, I also think people are really sick of being sold something. Like yeah. influencers that come off reality TV, we're all just trying to like sell you on things. And I think people are really over it. Yeah. Yes.
Fab, fit, fun.
Oh my goodness. The teeth whitening.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I still do SponCon every now and then, but like not for bullshit.
Right. Same. I try really hard to not do bullshit. Like I am like a farmer's dog. I will promote them till the day I die. I like believe in their product. I believe in it, like the longevity of my dogs.
That's so funny because they asked me, but I was like, no, I bet you're great, but like I don't feed you to my dogs. So I can't lie.
I feed them to my, yeah,
My dogs are older and like their teeth, like they can't handle, they have to stick with what they've got. So like, I can't lie to you guys.
Fair enough. I love the honesty because I think that's another thing where people are sick of like, people don't want to buy what people are selling anymore because they don't believe you.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there's certain people on the internet that actually take pride in if they're going to promote something, it's because they enjoy it. And I think that's where there's a difference in.
No, 100%. It's crazy like how just in 10 years, like so much has changed, like with reality shows, yeah. with Instagram, with social media, with like SponCon, with all that. Like when I think about how your Bachelorette started, the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
That was you and Brittany.
Yeah.
Having to go. Like, I'm like, I get chills, like, down my spine thinking about how that would never fucking fly.
Well, they did kind of do it with Gabby and Rachel.
What?
Gabby and Rachel had a season where it was the two of them the whole season.
Well, that's different. They both get to be there.
Yeah, but the guys, like, still had to flip-flop and choose and who liked someone better and make someone feel worse. Like,
it's still shitty.
Yeah, but like,
to make someone, to be like, we're going to put two of you guys out here.
Yeah.
And I remember the build-up to it. I was like, this is the fucking Hunger Games of The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, who's gonna win and who's going to get
anxiety
it?
That I was first like, oh, I have anxiety. I know what that is now.
Right.
I fully have it. And the imposter syndrome and like all the things that have become buzzwords in mental health, I had it.
Yes.
Like it was so bad. I remember I timed it once. I cried for 8 hours in one day because they told me to cut my bangs because my long bangs were too harsh and I needed to seem more like a sweetheart.
Oh my gosh.
And I just cried and I cried and I was like, Brett's prettier than me and she's like more wholesome and that's what America loves. Like, yeah, I was like not confident at all.
Were y'all able to get along and be friends?
Yeah.
Even though, okay.
Yeah.
Because like, I would imagine like being put in that situation where you were fully pitted against each other in the most obvious way, like black and white, no gray area. You're being pitted against each other.
Yes. Like, and we did. We actually got along really well. We were just so different. Like if we were very similar, I don't think we would have gotten along.
Yeah.
Like if she was like another like edgy Canadian who like got drunk and like had tattoos and was like whatever I was at the time, I would have been like, oh shit. But she was like so religious and like quiet and wholesome and all these different. And I was like, okay, well, if the guys are here for me, then like they're not
going
like,
to be,
if they're here for her, like I wouldn't have wanted to be with them anyways. Like I had really talked myself into that one, but
That's just like so fucked up. And I've waited 9 years to ask you about that. Like, isn't that's that terrible. Wild? 9 years is a
that's
fucking
decade.
It's a decade.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Like we have all lived so many lives since then. And all I had to do was be like, hey, can you come on my podcast 9 fucking years ago? And this would
also could have just texted me.
I know. I could have just like found out. Like, I just can't believe I'm sitting here now asking you this question, but it haunts me. Like I still think back to that. And I'm like, I can't believe those girls were able to do that.
You know that line on Superbad when he's like, people don't forget? Do you remember that part?
I mean, I love Superbad, but like, what are you talking about?
I always remember the weirdest shit from movies, but some kid pees his pants and Jonah Hill's like making fun of him. He's like, dude, you pissed your pants and whatever. And he's like, that was in third grade. And Jonah Hill is like, people don't forget. That's how I feel. That was a really
That's how I feel about
that.
Your experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was a absolute wreck over that. It was so awful because for obvious reasons, but also because I'm like, This is so sad either way because like now I'm going to feel like a huge asshole if that she goes home and that the guys chose me, like, and Chris Harrison set it up by saying like, who will make the better wife? And I was like,
is that how we fucking set it up? I'm not okay.
I know.
I'm not okay.
I know. It's literally, I was standing, they were about to announce us both as the Bachelorette and it was right before we went out there. And that's what he said to like introduce the segment. And I was like, I'm going to throw up. And I stood up there like trying to fake smile. And you should, if you go back and watch, I'm literally like this.
Oh my gosh.
Like I was mortified, but the paycheck was something I could not turn down.
Well, of course. Well, and the experience of it. Like,
oh my gosh. Cause I was like, what if I actually do find my person through this? Like I knew it was possible because I fell in love with Chris Soules. If I fall in love with Chris Soules.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
What the fuck were you thinking?
I wasn't.
No, like. Actually, I quite literally have no room to judge because all of my ex-boyfriends are monsters. Yeah. So, I get it. Sorry, Chris Soules.
But also they put these, people could say that like about me, like, oh my God, could you imagine you ended up with Caitlyn to any of the guys that were there? They put you on this pedestal as the lead where I'm like, how are these guys going to come down for this? So for the guy that I pick, like, he's going to realize I'm not that great. I'm great. I'm amazing. I love myself. But I'm not as good as they could possibly promote me as the Bachelorette. Like, they make these guys think you are God's gift to them.
Yeah.
They brainwash you in so many ways. They're literally, like, got an entourage of producers around you. And if a guy wants to come talk to you, they're like, she can't talk right now. Like, it's like you're a prize.
One of the biggest things I realized or like learned right after I had Hartford, my first child, is the importance or the fact that I would become so obsessed with bamboo fabric pajamas and like how that is the only option for my children. Like I can't just go and buy regular pajamas anywhere else. Like, no, because bamboo, that fabric, the softness is unparalleled, okay? And that is why I am so excited that Caden Lane is a sponsor of this show, because Caden Lane is like truly your one-stop shop for finding PJs, like outfits, blankets, swaddles, bibs, but for your children, and everything is so soft, okay? The bamboo pajamas, nothing like it. Thicker, they're stronger, they're longer lasting than any other PJs that I've ever tried for my kids. And now they even have Color Me pajamas. It's a coloring book for your kids to wear to bed. And they come with machine washable markers. I mean, that is the future. So whether you want to just get really comfortable, cozy PJs or clothes for your family, or you want matching PJs for the holidays, or if you want personalized clothing, because they personalize everything. And it's no secret that I just like love names and initials and personalized everything all the time. So go to Caden Lane. Caden Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. Head to cadenlane.com/Stassi and use code Stassi for 20% off your order. Once again, that's CadenLane.com/Stassi for 20% off, and make sure you use promo code Stassi so they know I sent you. I get asked about Nutrafol all of the time because I've talked about how I've taken it since I feel like I started right after my wedding. Like, again, I sound like a broken record, but that's when I started going on my hair journey. And I realized that I had some hair thinning, which, you know, maybe it's postpartum, maybe it's age, but hair thinning, it's complicated. Okay. So the problem is that it's much bigger than just your hair alone. So like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and the internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. And that's why I've always been so pro Nutrafol, because their whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. I've taken it for years now, and now I take the postpartum one, and I think that my hair is the best it's ever been in terms of healthiness, because, you know, I used to be someone who had extensions 24/7. Now I don't. Of course, there has been that postpartum like hair shedding, but not as much as before. And I think that's all because of Nutrafol. So all you have to do is just take 4 little capsules with your food every day and watch your hair just get thicker and healthier. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Straight Up. So find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Straight Up. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Straight Up.
I mean, how have these like couples that have like stayed strong, how do they do it?
Holy shit, I don't know.
Like, it's just like such an unnatural way to get to know each other or start dating to...
It's awful. I mean, it's everything about a healthy relationship starts from a strong foundation. That is the shittiest foundation to start on, where you're just like doing it with other guys and being like, I don't know, like maybe I'll just have sex with you and you in the fantasy suite, then I'll meet your families, and then I'll pick you at the end after I do all that.
But wait, okay, so I wasn't going to bring that up, but you did.
Oh,
you did. So wait, so did you think about it ahead of time when you had sex with, was two people, right?
Three.
Oh, it was all three of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I would have done the same thing if I was attracted to all those three guys. Like,
I'll tell you real
quick.
This
is not me judging. I would have done the same fucking thing. And sex is really important in a relationship.
Absolutely. It's how I knew to send Ben home third, because I was just like, I love him so much. No, that sounds so bad. It wasn't that he was bad. I could say a lot of good.
You just don't have.
I could say a lot of good about that one.
You just didn't have chemistry.
No, we did. It was just more like it felt more like I wanted to be his friend forever. And guys do not like hearing that. But
that to me is just like not no chemistry.
Yeah.
Sexual chemistry.
And that's how I knew. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. No. So was it a decision that you talked with your producers about? Like, or did you just say, fuck it and do it? Like, I want to know how much thought went into it. Like, we're like weighing the pros and cons. If I do this, it'll all be on national television. Am I going to have sex with all of them? Or did you talk to someone about it?
This was back in the day where they didn't have a 2-drink limit. And I remember being like drinking a lot of Jameson in Ireland and being like, nobody should trust me right now alone in a room with anybody. Like, this is bad. I'm really drunk. And they were like, hey, do you two want to be alone in a room and we'll take away the cameras and mics? And I was like, what? Yeah. And then they did. And then this was before the fantasy suite. And I was like, getting it on. And then I started crying. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. I feel bad about this. I feel bad. And then they made it look like...
Wait, did you start crying while you guys were hooking up?
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
Never.
I have.
Oh, never. That was my first time and I was like, this is awful. You've done that?
Yeah, no, like I remember like hooking up with someone like in my early 20s, and I was only hooking up with him because he seemed like such a good person. He was like so different from like the douchey LA guys that I was dating, that I'm like, I know he really likes me, but like I'm not into him, but I should be because he seems like such a good person.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I will have sex with him.
Yeah.
And he was on top of me looking down, smiling.
Oh,
and
no.
It just... Like,
broke you.
It broke me, and I started crying. And
you are a little cancer queen.
I don't know whether if he thought I was like real, like he thought I was just so into it that I was crying, or
God,
I don't know. We never spoke again. I like left immediately, and
it's because you're being sweet though.
It stuck with me.
This has still stuck with me too, because I was like, one, I shouldn't have had any business being in a room alone with a guy when I was that drunk. That was bad. But I felt so bad because it made me realize how much I really liked Sean, who I picked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, this obviously feels like I'm doing something bad, something wrong.
Yes.
And so I must like that person more. It was so confusing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, I couldn't fucking imagine, Caitlin.
Oh, it's psychological warfare that was going on, like, and it's just a lot.
How do you even like become a normal person again after that? Because I
was in a dark place.
Well, I even say that like reality TV, like it makes you a bad person. Like you...
Yes.
You think the whole world revolves around you. You think that making poor decisions is the right move because you get more attention for it. Like, there's just, like, so many...
And the producers are telling you, like, if you want to have a good season, like, this is what you got to do. And then my competitive side is like, well, I want to have the best season, so
for sure.
Here we go. Like, you got to be, like, a human being while also making a TV show.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
No, it's really hard. That, like, I know how hard it was to just do Vanderpump Rules. I couldn't imagine being in your position where you're literally dealing with other people's feelings.
Oh, my gosh, it's the worst. And then, of course, when you pick that person, their feelings are, like, hurt watching back all the...
Yeah. romantic moments you've had with other men where they're like, did you just pick me because I was the best out of these last three guys, or did you actually like
me?
Like
the whole time.
That foundation is just like already cracked and shit and soft and not strong enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how they do it. Like the couples that make it.
Yeah. No. Insane. I actually wasn't intending on talking about The Bachelor that much. I'm sorry that we have for so long. So you won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Which means you've always been a good dancer, right?
I grew up dancing. I loved it. I was okay.
Okay. So I want to ask you something. Okay. The way that I feel about people who are naturally good dancers are people who have never had to go through an ugly phase.
Disagree.
They're just like elite. And most of the time they don't have to develop a personality. So like, how did you develop such a charming, funny personality while being pretty and a good dancer? What the fuck?
If you went to my hometown where I grew up, you'd be like, oh, bless, humble beginnings. Like, people, like, drive through that town probably
I'm
go,
not talking about the town.
Yeah, but that builds about character. You. That builds character.
Does it?
Yes.
Not if all your friends are there, too.
All my friends were there. I just feel like there's nothing to do.
Right.
Like, we were snowed in half the time. So my dance studio was across the street. I definitely went through an awkward phase.
Okay.
I did. I wasn't. And it was, I'm going to show you
something. Looking for proof?
I'm going to show you something. You are going to see that this awkward phase that I went through, of course, it's going to take me a minute to find it, but I really want to show you. It was at the age of 19.
Oh, all right. That's specific.
19 years old.
I know. Is that really when you went through it?
Yes.
I don't really know that many people who go through their awkward phase at 19. That's like when they're coming out of it.
I'll
so
tell
I feel
you
like
why,
you're
though.
Lying.
I'm not, and I can't wait to show you this photo because I was a cheerleader as well. So you'd think
you're really not doing yourself any favors.
You would think that I would be cute because I was a cheerleader. Well, I'll find it.
There's one mystery photo of Caitlin out there during an awkward phase.
God, I really would. Oh, you found it.
That doesn't look like you.
I know. I know.
No, that's not you.
It's me.
No, who is this woman?
That is.
This woman.
That is 19-year-old Caitlin, who looks like she had her wisdom teeth taken out.
This woman is 48 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't believe a word you're saying. But this woman isn't unattractive.
She's in an awkward phase.
I don't know.
She's in an awkward
phase. She just doesn't look like you. She just doesn't, like, it just doesn't, I would still say this woman's very attractive. She just doesn't look like you.
Like, what is that? It's because awkward.
Okay, that's cute as fuck. Stop looking for photos. You're not going to prove.
It's because I grew up dancing every day. 6 days a week, I was dancing. I was like always moving. I was young. And then 19, obviously still young, but is when I moved out of my house. I was eating literally like McDonald's for breakfast. And then I'd go home and make myself like Eggo waffles.
Yeah.
And then on my way to work, I would get like a white mocha frappuccino. And then at dinner at the restaurant, I would eat penne Alfredo. And I didn't understand that's not nutrition fuel for your body.
Right.
And I just started, my cheeks blew up, everything blew up. And I was like, I didn't feel good.
Okay. So do you feel like you were funny and cool before that? Or was that what made you who you are?
Do you really think I'm funny and cool?
Yes.
That's really nice.
Yes, Caitlin.
Thank you.
I tweeted at you in 2015 asking That's you to cool. be my friend. I don't really do that.
That's cool.
That's like out of character for me.
I feel very honored because I feel like you're funny and cool. So I was like, thank you for showing me that. It really just gave me a little boost of confidence. I was always funny and entertaining. Like, my family, I was definitely like the clown of the family. I always wanted to make my family laugh. School, I went through like the craziest awkward phase. But I was so insecure in junior high school that I wouldn't eat because I thought people were staring at me. And I got too scared to like eat in front of people. And then I wouldn't go to the vending machine because I thought people were judging me for what I was going to get out of the vending machine.
Wait, what?
I had OCD. If you touch this shoulder, I needed to touch this shoulder. Like, I went through a really, really strange phase and I like lost my funny personality and like any confidence I had. I don't know what happened to me.
Did you go to an all-girls school or was it
no,
co-ed?
Co-ed.
I don't know what that's like.
You went to all girls?
Yeah. So like I have a fear of like peeing in public.
Oh my gosh. Oh, see, like, no, I'm like.
All Catholic school girls, like they, we just like, it's like so weird. I mean, I've gotten over it.
Yeah.
I had to.
Yeah. But, why though? Why would you have a fear of peeing in public?
Because like.
It's not it's like you're doing a co-ed bathroom.
Girls would like, it's weird. Like they would just like laugh at the sound of like peeing or something. I don't know. Me and my friend Alex, we grew up together. We talk about it and we're like, oh, it's like a. It's an all-girls Catholic school thing. I am really? So curious if this is just me and her or if this actually is an all-girls Catholic school thing.
I turn the water on every single time I pee, even when I'm alone.
So I used to have to do that, but I've conquered my fears.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I turn water on still to this day, and I hate public bathrooms because I was like, it's
they're
just
the fucking worst.
Yeah. You just hear everything that's going on in a very...
No, like people that can go number two, not to make this podcast about number two, but
no,
people that can go number two in a public bathroom, to me...
I can't do it.
Queens. Kings. Yeah. They should rule the world. Like the bravery,
no.
The courage,
I will say it's the fortitude. Brave.
Like there is nothing worse like than like going, like you just like have to go to the bathroom. You feel like you're going to die. And then you're at a restaurant. You go into the public bathroom. The stalls, like you're pretty much like holding hands with the person.
I know.
And there's no music.
No like, music. I do not know why public washrooms don't have music.
It should be required. Like, I've been saying this, like, there needs to be a world government.
Yeah.
Like, enough of these, like, private governments, like the United States of America.
Yeah.
Private governments. You know, Great Britain, like, you know, Italy, you wherever the
politics.
Fuck. We need a world government. Yeah. And I'm happy to take that role.
You should.
If necessary.
Could I be your vice?
I already secured my vice.
Oh, shit. Who is it?
But.
What if we no, you gotta vote.
But I need. Oh, okay. That's a turn of events. That's a twist.
What do you think?
So people will vote for my vice.
Yes.
Okay, I like this.
That's how politics work.
Well, this is a different kind of politics. You know, this is the world this is the world government.
And that's what you would change.
And
you'd change.
One of the things that I would change would be I would require it by law, otherwise execution of your own choice. You can pick your execution style, okay, guys? All right. But you have to have loud music in bathrooms because they are fucking with my digestive system, my organs. I like, who knows the damage that has been done to my body
from
because,
not being able to go?
Yeah, because there was no music in the public bathrooms.
I feel that. I had to go so badly the other day. And I was in the Delta Lounge, so I was like, oh, those bathrooms
are the best.
Yes, but, oh, this is actually
I dream
so,
about going to the bathroom in there.
So that's why I felt like I could, but I don't know what was going on with my body that day. It was not good. Oh, my God, I was so embarrassed. I walked out, and I was like, please, let nobody walk into this bathroom stall after me. I opened the door, and a woman is smiling at me, and then I'm pretty sure she knew who I was. She was like,
that sucks.
And then she walked into the bathroom and she had to turn around and come out and go into a different stall.
No, Caitlin.
And
I'm so sorry that happened to you. Wait.
I honestly, I was hungry all morning. I just lost my appetite because I'm so embarrassed.
No, I'm so sorry that happened
to
you.
I'm so embarrassed.
The way that, like, I fear.
I know.
That
it
happens.
Was awful.
It's the being recognized part.
That was
because
the, that
she's
was just
gonna,
the
you know,
cherry on
not
top.
To make you feel worse. But
oh, no,
like,
she's telling everybody.
She fully went on a group chat.
Yes. I would have too.
Yeah.
I would have too.
Now I feel like I'm not going to. If that ever happens, I'm going to respect that person's privacy. And I'm only going to tell my husband. Because you can't like fully keep it to yourself.
I
know.
It's fine that she shares. I'm like such an open book. And on my podcast, I talk about embarrassing things all the
time.
Yeah,
you made me think of you made me think of one, which I've thought about for 2 fucking weeks.
Oh, and I didn't even ask you.
And you didn't even ask me.
What was it? Now you can tell it on here.
You guys, can I just say, this fucking bitch. Sends
so
me a
true.
Fucking
damn
podcast prompt being like, can you prepare an embarrassing story that you have not told before
that
no one knows? So for 2 weeks, I feel like it's been a week and a half or 2 weeks, I've been racking my brain because I'm like, I can't think of anything. And anything embarrassing that's happened to me, I've told it already on my podcast. So like, I don't want to.
Did you think of something really good and I didn't ask you?
Well, so, all right.
Okay, we could cut this. Put it in.
Oh, no, we're using it for mine.
Okay, we're using it
for
yours.
We're using it for mine.
I love it.
We're using it for mine.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I text Lo. I text some of my friends last night, and I'm like, I need someone to help me come up with an embarrassing story because, like, I can't think of one.
Uh-huh.
And Lo wrote back the nicest compliment she's ever given me. She literally wrote back, I can't think of one either. I feel like you're just like unembarrassable. And I'm like,
oh, I love that.
That's queen shit right
that
there.
That is queen shit. Queen I love that. Shit.
But then I realized, okay, I can't show up empty handed to this podcast.
Oh my gosh. I never forget to ask people that too. What the hell?
All right.
We're saving it for this moment.
It happened to me yesterday.
Oh shit.
Okay. Thank God it actually happened to me yesterday.
Thank you, universe.
Okay. Because I don't get embarrassed that easily.
Yeah, because I'm the same.
We all fucking do embarrassing shit. Who cares? Yeah. Like, whatever. Yesterday, I went to the Natural History Museum with both my kids and Lala Kent and her kid Ocean.
Yeah, okay. I saw them running down the little thing. Real cute.
That's the moment I'm talking about. Okay. Uh-huh. So me, Lala, my husband, Lala's mom, we're sitting out having lunch outside, letting them run around.
Yeah.
Okay. We rotate our chairs so we can watch them.
Yeah.
Within a matter of like 3 seconds, they're out of our sight.
Oh God.
Out of our sight. And so we're like, what the fuck? What the fuck? I run to try and go find them. And the meanest, largest security guard.
Oh no.
Has both of them.
No.
No. In front of all the other parents.
Oh no.
Like everyone staring at me.
Oh God.
Comes, brings them. They're like, excuse me, ma'am, are these your kids? And I'm like, yes, they are. Like, I'm in the principal's office. Like, yes,
yeah,
yes,
well, also,
yes.
Also, I'm like, thank God they found your
they
children.
They are. No, at this point, I was just thinking about myself. I was like, who's going to record this and send this to Dumois? I'm not going to worry about my children's safety at this point. So I'm like, yes, they're mine. He's like, they tried to escape and run out. And I'm like, I am so sorry. And he literally made me feel like shit in front of all of these parents.
Damn.
The thought of them trying to escape and run out.
You're like, I think I give them a good life. Why are they trying to escape?
Yeah, what the fuck? Also, these feral children. Okay. But it was
so good they have it.
My blood ran cold. I was so embarrassed because like that's like the ultimate. Like it takes one mom who knows who you are witnessing a security guard bringing your two kids
saying
out
that
being
escaping.
Like, are these yours?
Yeah.
Like I was off getting wasted, like didn't
like you're not doing your job.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have one job and you didn't do it.
And I
you turned
like,
your back for 1 second.
Yes. And I was mortified. I was so embarrassed.
I'm sorry.
And that was the story that I had for your podcast.
Thank you for thinking of it. And thank you for almost putting it out into the universe for something embarrassing to happen to you for that story. But now we get to share it here.
Maybe that's why it happened. Again, we're talking about manifesting.
It is why
I manifested an embarrassing moment for myself.
Do you think it's possible to manifest bad things as easy as it is to manifest good?
Yes. I think it's easier to manifest bad things.
Oh, shit. Well, that's bad news for me with the doomsday thing that I do.
Yeah. I would say, that's bad news.
Oh, no.
Y'all, wait. Go listen to the episode that I recorded with Caitlin for her podcast, okay? Because this conversation will make more sense if you've already listened to it.
Yes.
Think about people in your life who are constantly making, like, the same destructive, poor decisions or, like, the same things always happening to them. Because that's like what they're putting out there all the time. Like you have to change your pattern. You have to like look at something that doesn't work in your life and be like, okay, what's the pattern here? Change that. Otherwise you're just going to keep getting the same fucking outcome.
That's true.
Was that English?
Yes. No, I was picking up what you're putting down.
Was that? I think that was too weird.
No, I was definitely walking your dogs on that one. I got it.
I've never heard someone say that. But my point is. I like it. Is it you're only imagining your life to be a certain way?
Have you heard of the burnt toast theory?
No. What's that?
I'm just going to read it because you know how we were also talking on my podcast about how like when things happen up here, I want to say it properly and articulate it properly, but I never can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, burnt toast theory. Okay,
is that where the toast had a picture of Jesus on it?
No.
Never seen that?
No.
You've never seen photos of that?
Burnt toast with Jesus on it?
Yeah. Like on the cover of like Inquirer.
What? Whatever.
They're like, this woman's toast had a photo of Jesus on it.
Is this like because you went to Catholic school, you guys see stuff like this? Jesus on burnt toast?
Maybe.
Burnt toast theory. We'll look that one up after.
Okay.
Burnt toast theory is the idea that inconveniences in our lives are either saving us from something more detrimental or pushing us in the direction we need to go. So
it's what you tell yourself when shit goes bad to make yourself feel better.
Yes. Right? Like oh, you burnt your toast in the morning. Oh, this is setting me up for a bad day and this is going to happen and this is going to happen. But if you look at it, like burnt toast, it burnt for a reason.
Because now I have to make a new one, which maybe those 2 minutes.
I would have been in a car accident.
Yeah.
Burnt toast theory.
I like that.
But then I think of what's the theory for the people that do get in that car accident.
No, that's exactly how I feel about when people say God never gives you anything you can't handle. That's weird because there are a lot of people who've been giving things they couldn't handle and they're not here anymore.
Right.
So like what? That makes absolutely no sense.
Unless of heaven, I don't want to hear it. Because heaven would be a great alternative to being on this earth.
But if heaven's forever, why not have as long as you can here
on this side?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you like, you get it all.
It's true.
Or it's like when people say when one door closes, another one opens. Who the fuck's opening that door?
Mm.
Why is there another door?
Deep.
Why? Like, and why do people just accept that phrase? Like, why are people like, true? Yeah.
They're like, wow, great perspective.
Yeah.
But I do like that perspective.
But
one door closes, another one opens.
That's
how doors work.
You're in a room that has only one door. In fact, most rooms
only have one door.
Only have one door. What room are you guys in?
And then what door? Well, it's to a better room.
But who's opening the door?
Jesus.
There's a lot of Jesus. There's a lot of Jesus today. Are you religious?
No, I'm spiritual.
Yeah, right. We just talked about that for
you
like
an
hour. You
know who opens next door? Yeah. Angie in New York, who's at the crystal shop.
Yeah, the one with Jerusalem bath.
Oil. Yeah.
Oil.
Bath oil.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Angie's opening doors. She's metaphorically, spiritually opening doors.
That's true, because you're doing magic on your chakra. You're lifting it. That's magic. Lifting it. So like if you could do that, you can magically open the, you know what? Fuck it. I don't like the door.
The door doesn't have to be a physical door.
Enough.
It's a metaphorical door.
Enough. Enough of these sayings that actually don't make any fucking sense. I like burnt toast though.
Okay.
Because it's not like it's
good. Cause that's my next tattoo.
Okay. With a picture of Jesus on it.
Yeah. That one. That one specifically.
I feel like the rest, like, you know, the other door opening, God never gives you anything you can't handle, those like are proverby.
Yeah.
They give me proverb vibes. Okay. Burnt toast doesn't. Burnt toast gives me like, how do I want to be happy today vibes.
And if you have a proverb quote on your Instagram, I bet you've bullied me.
100%.
Yeah.
Corinthians 1.
Corinthians palm.
Colon fucking. Yeah. Absolutely.
You are a bully.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct. Why is that? Isn't that wild?
It doesn't add up.
It doesn't. And also just like grandmother to seven.
Yeah.
How is it possible that you love Jesus so much and your seven grandkids and you still want to call me ugly?
Oh my gosh. It actually blows my mind every time. Like I actually enjoy now when I go to somebody's profile and it says a Bible verse. I was like, okay.
Makes
sense. Actually like, yeah,
okay.
I'm like, okay. That I'm going to give it a pass because you're one of them.
It's like when I see user 4671234, that's the equivalent to a Bible verse, which sucks for the actual people who have Bible verses that are actually good people.
I know.
They give like,
they're
giving
the Karens
those
that are sweet.
Yes.
And then they have to get the name Karen.
And they get a bad rep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's unfortunate for them.
I do feel bad for the Karens who are sweet.
Maybe you have been seeing recently on my Instagram stories that I have become Factor's number one fan. Okay. I am not a cook. I'm not good at it. That's Beau's role in this household. That's one of his things. And I'm lucky that I have that. But there are times when I need to make myself something to eat and he is not around. And I also need to I don't know how to feed myself without just like ordering food, which is why I became so into Factor. So Factor, it's delicious, ready to eat meals that make eating better every day just so freaking easy. Okay. So this is what I love about Factor the most. It is not frozen. Okay. They're delivered to your door, these little ready to eat meals, and you put them in your refrigerator and you pop them in the microwave for only 2 minutes. And it is so delicious. There's 35 different options, over 35 different options a week to choose from. And there's so many different, categories, keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie. So like anything that you might need for your own diet, they have. Like I said, it's only 2 minute, delicious. My favorite is the Nona's Bolognese. I also love their Parmesan chicken. They have mashed potatoes. There's just, it's really delicious. It's nutritious and they've just like hit the spot. You know, instead of having a girl dinner where you're like, I don't know, maybe I'll have some like turkey and like some almonds and like you just like snack on things. No, just like pop in a Factor meal and then you like get a balanced, nutritious meal. So head to factormeals.com/Stassi50 and use code Stassi50 to get 50% off. That's code Stassi50 at factormeals.com/Stassi50 to get 50% off. On your Instagram account, you say, what is it? What does it say? It's like a light seeker. What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, okay. Have you ever heard of Hoffman?
No.
Okay. Hoffman is a retreat that I went on that is a week of inner child work.
Okay. I've heard of that. I know that.
It's very intense. And we do a lot of like visualizing and meditations and like it's very spiritual. And what I learned the most about myself is that I try and be like this person who seeks justice and I like want this person to pay for what they did and you are trying to, and I get angry. But what I actually really want is just to like find people who have the same light as me. And I think I just want to be seen and heard and like known for who I am and not who people think they can label me as. And so during this inner child work retreat, I just did so many meditations around this. And you don't have your phone for a full week.
Oh my God.
It's 13 to 15 hours of therapy every day.
Like, that's not fun.
It was
no,
the
it's
best.
Not.
I had a bat and a pillow. And you got to like bash your like negative thoughts.
Kaylin, let's say. If
you are the exact person that needs to go.
If someone were to tell me like be in a room, you're going to talk about your feelings and you're going to have a bat and the person tells me to like bash it, I would feel like my blood would run cold. Like I would just be like, I'm performing for them. Like I would feel embarrassed. That embarrasses me. That's too much for me.
Yes, and a lot of people don't make it past day two because of that. But once you just surrender to it and you realize that nobody there is judging you, they're all there for their own shit anyways, and you literally work through that. That alone you would work through. And at the end of it, I wanted to go home and like bully everybody into going to Hoffman. Like I wanted to be like, go to Hoffman. It'll change your life. Everybody needs to do this. Like, and they said, what you have to do is actually just like be a light and like show people through what you've done and the work that you've done on yourself to not be superior or like righteous and be like, I'm healed, but just like show them the life that you want to live as like a light seeker. And then they'll want to do what you've done for yourself.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So is that, are you calling other light seekers, calling to other light seekers? That's why it's on your bio.
Yes, I would like to attract more light.
That makes sense.
Onto my page.
I will say, I wouldn't make it there. No, like, even when I've, like, done therapy, and, like, I remember my last therapist, I don't go to him anymore because he made me do this. He was like, look to the side, to the side, to the side, to the side, and think about, I don't know, it was something that I was supposed to fucking think about.
Brain spotting? Were you doing brain spotting?
I don't know what it's called, but it was fucking annoying. And I'm like sitting here like sweating, just like feeling really uncomfortable that I'm like having to like look from side to side to side to side while like someone's just like there. That I'm like, this is not my vibe. Don't make me do anything I don't want to do.
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
Like, don't make me bash a pillow because like that, pillows are soft. That's like not actually going to make me feel better.
Ooh, it made me feel so much better.
A pillow is soft. Like, how is that satisfying?
No, because you're writing out on like a cardboard piece of like construction board.
Uh-huh.
Writing out your like really dark thoughts and the lies you tell yourself, and you're bashing them on a, just like the pillow's there for support underneath.
Okay.
I'm not selling you on Hoffman, but that's okay. It changed my life.
Okay.
But I've been doing therapy for about 13 years. And I felt like I needed like one step further into therapy. Like I was like, I can do talk therapy all day long and I totally understand certain things. Like once in a while I'll have an aha moment. But Hoffman, like that intense, deep work changed my life.
Okay. Well, I hope that other people listening to this who are like more into this shit, like get inspired and do this.
Yeah, you have to really want to.
Yeah, I don't. And this is the thing.
and it's expensive.
I don't have time to like not have my phone and not be with my kids. Like,
I get
it's like
that.
It's just like so unrealistic for me at this point that like if I was going to not be with my kids, bet your ass I'm going to Paris and leaving them at home. That's what I'm going for.
I totally understand. And that can be therapeutic for you as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Like if I had
it seriously would.
If I had kids, I probably wouldn't want to leave them for a week. Especially with no contact.
Yes. What is that like your version of self-care? Like what is your version of self-care right now?
I mean, I have so many different levels of this. Like I have a spiritual coach that I talk to once a month. That to me is like deep self-care because the way that I feel coming out of that is like, I honestly think I'm like my higher self.
Yeah.
Like I actually think that's how I felt when I came out of Hoffman. I went to Hawaii and I started thinking that I was like part of nature.
I thought you were going to say a cult leader.
That too.
Like you're talking like one right now.
I felt that. We did. So at the end of the Hoffman, you do like a satire where you like kind of make fun of the situation. And we were all like, can't wait to watch this on a Netflix documentary about how this is an actual cult.
For sure. It's like what it sounds like. Just being straight up honest with you right now.
I would love to be the cult leader if anybody wants to join of Hoffman.
Okay. So we've have a wannabe cult leader, a wannabe world government leader.
Yeah, we're going to change the world.
Two very unhinged ladies who are going to change the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I think people would want to be a part of that.
What would your cult be like if you were a cult leader?
It would be a lot of self-care. It would be like,
too much self-care is like, well, I just need a little chaos.
But that's what self-care to me is also getting really drunk on like a Monday and like writing a rage page, a rage journal. Have you ever done that?
No, but I do miss getting drunk on a random Monday.
I'm telling you, that's also self-care to me.
The way that I miss just being able to on a random day.
Yeah.
Be like, let's go bar hop.
Yeah.
And get shit-faced.
It's so fun.
And pass out in bed.
I'm really sad about this new era of people that are just like, alcohol's really bad for you. I'm like, what?
No, like Gen Z, I guess, doesn't really drink.
Which is not good for my wine label, but.
Well, no, because I don't think Gen Z is your audience necessarily, right?
They're not really my audience.
Like,
they're definitely not my audience.
Right? I mean, maybe we have a few. We have some.
I
love them. I do. I am inspired by Gen Z.
I'm inspired by them too.
But I don't understand how they don't drink.
Me either.
They're all microdosing.
Which is cool too.
Yeah, no, do you. But like, there's nothing more fun than like ordering a martini at dinner.
Oh.
Yes.
Like, you my guys whole body just lit up like thinking about a gin martini with olives at dinner before the meal comes out and just, oh my God, yes, I love it.
Like, these kids don't realize what they're missing out on.
I get like, okay, maybe you don't always want to get shit-faced and like,
yeah,
whatever, but I want to live a European lifestyle.
Correct, same.
I like wine. I love wine. I love pairing it with food. I like pairing it with fucking chips. I don't care what it is. I like to have a glass of wine and food. It's one of my happy places.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you.
That's what I mean with self-care. Like therapy, yes. Spiritual stuff, yes. Getting drunk on Monday, yes. Like whatever makes me feel happy is self-care. Sometimes just having that routine of like taking off my makeup at the end of the night feels like self-care.
That's like my only self-care at this point right now.
Are you crazy about your skin? I'm crazy.
Oh, there's like, I could be so sick or I could have been like so hammered back in the day. Do you know what I mean? Where like I'm throwing up and I will always take my makeup off, wash my face. Like I never wake up with makeup on. And I don't understand like when I see people like post about the fact that they're like makeup from last night. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I used to always do it. I always did it. I was like proud of it because I sleep like this. So I could just like have makeup, but then I realized how terrible that is for your skin. And now for, I don't know how long, like, I don't know, 5 years now, I feel like I'm like, I cannot, I'm the same way. Doesn't matter. Like last night, all I wanted to do when I got into my hotel, like 2 a.m.
Is get clean?
No, I wanted to jump into bed and pass out.
Oh.
But I got clean.
But like nothing is better than the feeling of being clean when you jump into a hotel bed.
Absolutely. Like I have to.
If you don't shower before you get into a hotel bed, I don't fuck with you.
Mm. My hygiene can be very questionable sometimes, but going into a hotel bed after a plane, yes.
Why the plane, but like nothing, but not
like
other
how
things.
Often do you wash your sheets?
I should wash them more. I feel like once a week.
Yeah, I'm like once every 2 weeks.
Like I should do I, and I'm being generous by saying.
But you also are a mom of two, a working mom.
Yeah, but that has nothing. There's no correlation between sheet washing.
Do you wash your hands after you go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Every time?
Yeah, because I have to set an example for Hartford. When I'm alone, sometimes if I pee, no.
Okay.
No. Okay. But there's just something about a hotel bed. It's pristine. It's clean. It is. Yeah. If you're in the right hotel.
Yes.
Okay.
Another bougie thing I am, hotels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel you on that. Like that is like a luxury that I will not, I'd rather not go on the trip.
Yes.
Than stay at a shitty hotel.
Yes.
Like I'll stay back. I don't have to go, but I must stay in a nice hotel.
I am the same way. Yes.
So why wouldn't you take a shower so that you can experience that extra clean bed the way that it's meant to be experienced?
I do agree with you and I hear what you're saying, but what if it's 2 a.m. and you just...
I mean, I get it. People make mistakes.
Okay.
You know, people
are all flawed humans.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So if you were to have a cult, it would be all about self-care. Would you have rules in your cult?
Yeah.
What would they be?
Like no bullying tolerance.
Really? Not just like every once in a while?
A poking fun, yes. Straight up bullying, no.
I'm joking.
But I love flirting to me is like sometimes people will be like, oh, you hurt my feelings. I'd be like, oh, I was just trying to flirt with you. I love jabbing.
That's what I mean. People do take that as bullying nowadays. I just don't, you know, it's like, I talked about this on another episode. It's like the celebrities who like can't laugh at themselves when like they're at the Golden Globes and like they're featured in a fucking... Like
we're stressless?
A joke like on from the host.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the jokes are what make the world go round.
I agree. Like, I totally agree.
Like everyone, I would think that if I had a cult, it's not that I'd say bullying. It's that everyone deserves a jab at least once or twice a day.
Oh, yeah. Like keep you humble.
It keeps you humble.
Yeah.
Keeps you fun.
Yeah. I do. Okay. Another rule I would have is like, there's got to be a comedian in the group.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, and you sit down and have like a laughter hour.
That's a great idea. Laughter hour.
Yeah.
It could be after happy hour.
Yes. Oh, there's definitely happy hours.
Yeah, 100% happy hours. And yeah. I would say like afternoon tea.
Oh my gosh. Like with this, have you ever been to London?
Yes.
Have you ever had the sandwiches there with the
where they're
high tea and they're cut and they're...
Oh my God, I have a TikTok account for you.
You do?
Are you a TikToker?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm obsessed with TikTok. I don't really like post that much, but like I am a spectator and I just love it. Mm-hmm. And there is this account from just this, I don't want to say bakery or like sandwich shop or whatever in London. And they it's just of them making tea sandwiches and how they do it.
I love
tea
sandwiches.
And you hear these like two older people, like they're older. Yeah. Like they sound like they're in their like 80s or something. Ugh. And they're just talking about, oh, well, this one looks good today, but in their accent or whatever. Yeah. And it's just such a lovely TikTok account to follow. I'll send it your way.
I love London. I think I'll move to Europe one day.
So I think so too.
Yeah.
You think you would move to London?
Yeah, I could do London.
But like in your, if you could pick one place, like really, like right now, I tell you, you get to move to this place or at least spend half of the year there.
Honestly,
every year.
I would Prague.
Oh, so I've been dying to go to Prague.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's what Bo says.
It's incredible.
Cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you've experienced it.
I have twice.
Have you experienced it during Christmas?
Yes.
Fuck you.
I know.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's because I lived in Germany. It was very close.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Fine. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Are you a period piece lover? Like, do you like historical dramas and fictions?
I do. Yes.
But do you love them?
No.
Okay. Have you ever seen one at all?
I love The Crown.
That doesn't count. Oh, you know, when people tell me that, you know, whenever I ask someone, they're like, yeah, I love The Crown. I'm like, that literally was so recent. Like, that's not a, like, yes, I know that it goes back
to. Yeah, I just have an obsession with Princess Diana.
You're a basic bitch.
I'm such a basic bitch.
Yeah, I don't know one person our age that doesn't have an obsession with Princess Diana. It's like
How could you not? And her style and like everything.
No, I get it.
So I didn't think I was into history. Well, clearly I'm not. But I loved starting The Crown because I felt like I was learning so much. I was like, oh, this is actually, like, this happened.
But, like, that's how it is with every historical drama, but different time periods.
Like, give me another historical drama that maybe I should have watched.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Downton Abbey.
Never watched.
Never watched Downton Abbey?
No.
Versailles.
Never heard of it.
The Tudors.
Nope.
Spanish Queen. White Princess.
Nope.
The White Queen.
Now you're making it up.
Serpent Queen.
Now you're making shit up.
I'm not. The Buccaneers.
No.
The Gilded Age.
Where is this on?
They're all over the place. Like, literally.
Okay, maybe I'll get into it.
Like, they're
Bridgerton.
I mean, I love Bridgerton. That's,
I watched that. I loved it.
Great.
Yeah.
That's like a great starter show for people who are trying to get into period pieces.
Okay.
Like,
Peaky Blinders?
So I've only seen one episode, and I think that might be my next show.
Okay. I want to get into
it. Because
that.
People are like, you would like this. You love period pieces.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't like too much action. And like, isn't it action-y?
I don't know. Is you like a good storyline, like a slow burn? Like a Vanderpump?
Yeah, like Vanderpump meets the Regency era.
Okay.
That sounds ideal.
Okay.
You know, or Vanderpump meets the Renaissance. Like, yeah.
Do you think one day, like 100 years from now, they'll play Vanderpump and you will be a period piece?
Cool.
Caitlin. You will. People will copy your style and dress up as you for Halloween.
I'm going to be a period piece.
You're going to be a period piece one day.
Oh my gosh.
You are.
Wait, the way that I've never thought about this, so will you, but you just don't care.
Yeah, I don't care as much. I'm like really happy for you.
Like, my whole TikTok algorithm is nothing but different things on different, like TikToks on different time periods. Like right now I'm like fully immersed in like Victorian era TikTok, and like the Victorians, they were fucking crazy.
Really?
They were unhinged, crazy.
Can you send me TikToks so that my algorithm can start getting me more into this stuff?
You want to be in,
sure.
You want to go down Victorian.
I see the passion that is oozing out of you over this, and I would like to have that.
Okay, I'm going to send you some. Okay. I'll find like the juiciest ones so that I can hook you.
I get like fart jokes on my For You page.
I was just going to ask, what is your algorithm?
My algorithm is like, I belly laugh on TikTok. Like people say you waste your time like doom scrolling. Not on TikTok for me.
Yeah.
TikTok makes me, I'm so woo-woo today. I was going to be like, I'm on a higher vibration.
Please don't say that. No, like,
I stopped myself.
Right, yeah, thank you.
I stopped myself.
Okay.
But I feel like I belly laugh and I get in a really good mood from TikTok. Instagram makes me angry and TikTok makes me happy.
That is all so factual.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way. Instagram makes me angry. TikTok makes me happy. But
yeah.
I don't... When I think TikTok, I don't actually belly laugh. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I get like some funny TikToks in my feed. I'm educated by TikTok. Like that's...
No, I get it.
That's where I'm learning. I'm a scholar on TikTok.
I take masterclass every day. It's called TikTok. I actually do. I belly laugh at like... I wonder if we have the same humor. Because... I immediately go to Instagram. It's like a...
I know.
Ooh, that's sad.
I know.
I've started to get into the queer community in TikTok as well. Because I love Fletcher so much and I've...
Who's Fletcher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm obsessed with her.
Who's Fletcher?
Or Renee Rapp.
She's not good at music.
I'm not. Okay. I don't know a lot of music-y things.
Well, so I get very into... like this really makes me laugh.
I feel like I've seen this one. That makes you belly laugh?
No, that was just the first one that came up that I was warming you up.
Okay. Like, no, like, it's cute and funny. It maybe gives like a chuckle. I'd probably scroll right through that one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get a lot of dancing ones.
I see. I figured that. As I was wondering what your TikTok algorithm would be, I'm like, I bet you it's a bunch of dance stuff.
I get a lot of dance, a lot of comedians, and then a lot of like really stupid humor.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, like I'm always fascinated by everyone's TikTok algorithm because
I know.
It's so specific. to
and then
people.
A lot of Bachelor shit comes up for me.
Well, of course, I get fed some Vanderpump Rules stuff. Like,
yeah.
That gets weaved in because, like, I try and, I try and, like, scroll out of it as fast as I can because I don't want it to, like, fuck with my algorithm.
Yeah,
but I'm like, but fuck, I actually was interested in what they were saying. But I'm like, no, there's no going back now. You don't want to change your algorithm. I don't want it to all of a sudden just be, like, Bravo on my TikTok. Then it won't be a safe place for me anymore.
This is how I knew I had a really good friend. She helped me change my algorithm because I watched one conspiracy theory video and all of a sudden I was like, TikTok wasn't a happy place for me anymore. I thought the world was ending. Yeah. Like I thought everything was bad. And like it really changed. I thought I didn't want to have kids because of my algorithm on TikTok.
I know. I can second that, like that I felt that way when I'm pregnant. I all of a sudden get fed things about things going wrong in your pregnancy. Yeah. And I had to actively, even though I was curious and I wanted to know, like,
of course.
I'm like, fucking scroll out of it. Yeah. Don't even hesitate a second. Like I've had to become like a ninja on TikTok so that I don't get fed scary shit.
Because everybody is a professional on there too. And they think they're giving you like the best information. And anyone can literally say anything on TikTok.
Yeah.
And it'll be a thing.
I know. Like I cite TikTok as if like I read the encyclopedia.
Yes. Same.
So, that's scary.
I know.
That means that people are watching some of the things that I say and they're citing them as fact.
I get so freaked out at the level of influence that I could have through this thing.
How do you think? I wouldn't allow myself to think that way. Well, otherwise, I would never post anything.
Look, I didn't realize I have younger girls following me. I'm like, I drink like quite a bit. I have a wine label. But I did a dance on a fake Santa and you would have thought that I grinded on baby Jesus. Sorry to bring up Jesus again. Really sorry about that.
Wait, like what were people telling you?
Oh, I was, because my girlfriend had this fake Santa in her house and he was like life size and he does this with his hands.
Right.
So I went upside down twerking on him.
And that was
wrong.
And
he was like doing this and I was like just, I was not like getting too freaky. I mean, the upside down twerking was a bit much, but it was just for a second. And people were like, this is too much. I have to unfollow you.
Really?
Yes. And I got a lot of hate for it. And some women were like, my daughter follows you. Like, this is so inappropriate. And I was like, wait. It's a life-size Santa. He's not real. It's not like he's actually married to Mrs. Claus. He's a real person. He's having an affair with me on my Instagram. This is a plastic Santa who, because he was doing this, I thought I would do this. And I couldn't believe it.
Wait.
I lost followers.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
When you lose followers, like no matter what it is, like especially but though for like something like that, like does it bother, like does it affect you?
Yeah, but not like tremendously.
No, totally.
But I'm like, oh, like I get like a little bummed out because I hit 2 million followers on Instagram. And I was like,
teeters,
oh, wow. And then it teetered back and I was like, bang.
That's what you can never announce. Here's my advice to you. Never announce when you've hit it.
I didn't.
Because then the pack of trolls that are following you to hate you, they all band together and they go to unfollow you. And then you're just like right back where you started.
Yes. No, I made sure I did not do that. I didn't say anything. I just like quietly let it go. And then it was starting to go back the other way. And I was like, should I just accidentally post a nude? And that's when I knew that I was in a dark place.
You were unhinged.
Yeah.
That's
when I knew I cared. That's when I went to Hoffman.
Is that really when you went to Hoffman?
No.
Like, hi, like when you get to Hoffman, you're like, I contemplated posting a nude because I lost too many followers because I grinded on Santa.
Claus. Yeah, they're like, you've come to the right place, ma'am.
I want
to
be her friend.
Yeah, they're like, you came to the right place.
Why are girls who still believe in Santa following you on Instagram?
That's what I said. I said, that's some bad parenting right there.
That's... Like, is it about the fact that, like, their kids still believe in Santa and they're like, what the fuck, why are you grinding on Santa? Or, like, is it,
I think they just thought it was inappropriate.
What's the weirdest stuff that people DM you about?
Oh, some guy told me he's, like, hitting on me through the, through DMs. And his last one said to me, shake that fart maker.
What?
Wait. I'm pretty sure I took a screenshot of it. Shake,
yeah.
Shake that farter, girl.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Shake that farter.
First of all, no one's ever slid into my DMs.
What?
I don't think so.
Not good ones. No good ones have ever slid into mine.
I'm not just one. Like not really like a flirty person. Like no one, I don't, that's not the energy I put out there. Like,
well,
it's like the opposite of manifesting. I'm manifesting that no one slides into my DMs. Like I can't with that shit.
That's amazing. But you're also married with kids. I am recently single.
But I'm still hot.
Oh yeah, you're hot.
You know?
But you have like, what is your algorithm? Like 98% female?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I think
same,
it's
same.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get like one or two guys and they say things like, shake that farter.
You won, honestly. Like I've been like sitting here, I'm like, what like have people like written me? Like my favorite thing is like when I do happen to click on like someone's DMs and I see like that they've been messaging me for years and how the way they've messaged me changed. Like, it started off nice.
Yep.
Like really nice. And then it gets meaner because I've never responded. And then now they're literally talking about how my children are trolls. And it's truly crazy to watch someone go, like when you finally click on something, you're like, holy shit, you've been messaging me. I'm like, damn,
I
Gina,
know.
Like, wow.
I know. I sometimes I write back and I just go like, oh, like this has been quite a roller coaster for you.
100%.
I'm so sorry.
I hope
like
you're doing
I didn't
okay.
even know you. Like, or when people say unfollow, I'm like, that's like coming to a party I didn't invite you to, and then saying that you're leaving when I didn't even know you were here.
That 100%. That's exactly what
so
it's
I'm
like.
So I'm like, if you're unfollowing me because I grind on Santa, you are not my people.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like you get like. When someone says they're unfollowing me, normally it's for something where I'm like, I don't want you here because this is what I'm about.
Yeah. I think mine ended up on somebody's For You page where it shouldn't have. And it's just like ended up because I would click on some of the people that were being just terrible. And I was like, oh, you don't even follow me. Okay.
That's
you don't
the,
understand.
You know what? That's the worst. Yeah. Fuck Instagram for doing that.
Yeah.
Fuck Instagram.
Like, I'm like, I love more eyeballs on my stuff, but not for that.
No. But like, I don't want more eyeballs on my stuff. I want Instagram to just let TikTok be the thing that just throws it out there.
Yeah.
Instagram, I want my content to only be seen by people who want to see it and are asking to see it.
You've created your own little digital family and you want the people that are there to want to be there.
Yes.
I know.
I don't want to like spam some person and like annoy their, ruin their day. Like, I don't want to do that.
Sometimes I do.
All right.
Just once. Usually when I'm on my period, I like to piss people off.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what really annoys me?
What?
That I get these a lot of my DMs.
What?
Can you please show your dogs more? Please, your poor dogs. Can you please show your dogs more? Like,
try having joint custody of dogs.
Like, it's like the way that people go crazy about my dogs because I'm not posting them the way that I used to. Like, I have some other things going on.
Yeah, you're a little busy.
I've got two. I've got... Like, I'm with them.
Yeah.
The dogs are here.
They're alive.
They're well. The way that I used to, like, post photos of them, like, that's not...
One girl tells me I post too much about Pinot and not enough about ramen.
I love her.
She's like, don't forget about ramen.
Wait.
He's getting older.
Wait, no, hold on. I thought you meant...
What?
Oh, you didn't know those for the
my dog
I
names.
I know those were your dog's names. I thought she was like, you post too much about your wine and not enough about ramen noodles. And I'm like, I love her. Like, wow, that's specific.
Right. I forget that those are not like a classic dog name.
Okay.
Pinot and Ramen are my dogs. And they think I favor Pinot.
See?
But I actually favor ramen, if I'm being honest.
Like, people are so crazy.
Yeah, it's so I can't even imagine. I don't know how moms do it, because if somebody ever commented on my child, I think I would be wanted for murder.
Yeah, no, that gets really hard. Luckily, it's like not really in the comments section so much. I'll see it every now and then.
Oof.
And I will, if I allow, I have to actively choose to not let it
have violence.
Yeah. Because... the way that people feel comfortable saying negative things about children, it's crazy.
I can't imagine, but like the amount of hate that I see on social media towards anything, like nothing would surprise me, to be honest with you. But
no, I know. Nothing about it is surprising, but it's just...
It's sick.
It's just wild that like, I would just love to meet one of these people IRL.
Oh, I know. Oh, they would never.
Ask them a few questions.
Yeah.
I'm like fascinated. Like I want to do like a documentary on people who comment online negative shit about kids.
Like a catfish for trolls.
Literally.
And find them and have a conversation with them.
Why isn't anyone doing that? Because, like, I don't even have it that bad. Like, people aren't really that mean to me. Like, I feel like people, like, they're like, we've done it to you enough. Yeah. We made it through.
You're on the other side.
We're going to go easy on you now. Yeah. Like, we don't even feel like bothering with you anymore.
I kind of am starting this own documentary on my own because if you went into my screenshots, I'll screenshot trolls' faces. And if I'll, like, study them before I go to the airport and be like, if any one of them ever try and come up to me in an airport, I'll be like, you think I don't know who you are?
That's smart because you know what? Do you know how many people who've taken photos with me and then they go and post them and like talk shit about me?
Yeah.
So like that's the thing. When people come up and ask for photos and like if I say no, it's either because I'm with my kid or I, for some random fucking reason, have no makeup on and I don't want my photo taken.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's also this part of me that's like, are you actually a fan? Or
I know,
are you
going to
take this photo and just like make me look like a fucking clown and make fun of me?
No, I'm terrified of that. And I'm scared of being so kind to somebody that is able to be such a troll to me.
Yes. And that happens.
But let me tell you, this 111. I'm so weird today. Why are you bringing out this like magician in me?
It's my chakra.
Your chakras are very aligned. Your chakras are so aligned. Okay, I took a screenshot of this lady.
Oh.
Jennifer. Larison. If you're out there.
Jennifer Larison.
She is nasty.
What if she is a Khaleesi? What if she listens to Straight Up with Stassi and all of a sudden she's just in her car and she just like literally swerved because she's like, did they just say,
yes,
they just said Jennifer Larison.
Yes, we said your name. You were so mean to me in those DMs that to the point where I'm like, I'm scared of her.
Yeah.
Like I should contact authorities because she hates me.
Do you click on your DMs a lot?
No, I try not to.
Yeah, I try not to too. And then I feel like bad that people are taking the time to message me something.
Same.
And I'm not at least reading it. So like I have this like inner struggle. I think I get through about like 20% of my DMs.
Yeah, I try really hard to read the first like little bit. And if it's positive, I'll try and open it to respond. Because if it's negative, then I start looking for the negative. My therapist calls it shopping for pain. I go shopping for pain. So I try to like open the nice ones and respond to them.
Okay. See, that's good. I should try and do that too.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's really time consuming.
Well, you got to just take like 30 minutes of your day to set aside for like, I'm going to respond to some really nice people.
Do you know how long 30 minutes is? Right now I'm at the phase with my family.
Yeah.
Where I don't got that.
Yeah, I got that.
I used to have night times to myself. Now Hartford wants to sleep in our bed and I'm like, who am I now? Like, I don't even have my night times. Like, I don't have 30 minutes to just go and to be an asshole.
No, that doesn't sound
like
an
asshole.
It's not
like I'm so busy doing like totally fun, awesome things.
No, you're prioritizing.
I just like can't.
No, you're prioritizing the right things and I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you. If I'm going to have 30 minutes extra, I'm going to go rewatch Downton Abbey. Yeah.
There you go. See that? And
that's my self-care.
There you go. You're choosing self-care over DMs and that's okay.
Yeah. Like my self-care literally is only historical fictions or historical dramas. They could be real.
That's
like,
your self-care.
That is like when I think of like what's my happy place? What's going to put me in a good mood? What will make me recharge my batteries? Where can I zone out? But like, I'm also not zoning out because I'm like paying attention and like Wikipediaing all
so
of the people who are on.
So you actually like
this.
The educational like aspect of it where you learn and then you like go and do your research and like, were you a Game of Thrones person? That wasn't real. I know that, but
no, that's not why I'm laughing.
Oh.
That's not why I'm laughing. No, first of all, it wasn't real. I was the biggest Game of Thrones person.
Oh, you were?
No, like my listeners are called Khaleesi's. That was literally started back in 2015. It's cringy. I know.
Okay. But like, no, I like that.
It's 9 years old and I just like can't get rid of it because it just,
I like that.
Like I was so obsessed.
Oh, that's
but
right.
Okay. Not real.
Well,
not real at all.
Little parts were like beheading people when they, did they do that?
Okay. Yeah, but like that's, okay. So then you could say that Star Wars is real.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
aspects of it, right?
No. No, the way that historical dramas to Wikipedia and look up every like,
that's
everything that happened. Like I watched Napoleon with Joaquin Phoenix the other night. It took me 5 hours because I had to obviously find out about every battle and everything that Napoleon did and pause the movie a million times. And I'm like, after I did it, I felt like a new woman.
Wow.
Like,
So you don't need to cut your hair and do something drastic. You just got to put on a little time period piece.
That's it. But
that's I named my walk-in pantry Walking Phoenix Pantry. Because it's a walk-in pantry.
That's actually really clever.
You're really loud out there.
Wait, that's like... That's okay, we have to wrap it up. Yeah. Sorry. That's actually clever. Also, Joaquin Phoenix was like my crush growing up. Mm-hmm. I even wrote his name on my shorts under my Catholic schoolgirl uniform.
Pardon? You wrote his name on your shorts under your kilt?
I said Mrs. Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, under my kilt. That's how obsessed I was.
I don't think you've ever said that.
I haven't said that before?
I don't think so.
That would have been the embarrassing confession to share with the class.
I don't think it's that embarrassing.
I love that.
Anyway, I just got told we have to wrap it up, but Caitlin, fucking finally.
I know.
This was so fun.
We should also probably do it more often.
Yes, because like, whenever you need a guest, whenever I need a guest, we can just like be like, we'll help each other out.
Yes.
We'll help each other out, because I know it's so fucking annoying always having to find guests. It's like a full-time job just trying to find guests.
It is. And then I get so competitive with other people because I'm not in LA and I can't like get the good ones, and I'm like in Nashville being like, do you want to do a Zoom?
Oh, Zooms I feel like are just like the best, because like it takes like literally an hour of your day. You don't have to get in the car and go anywhere.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like so easy.
But I don't feel like I'm as present.
I agree. The episodes aren't as good.
Yeah.
But... they're easy.
Okay.
Anyway, I love you. Everyone, go follow Caitlin. Go listen to her podcast. Go buy her wine. Yes,
all I'm excited to hear how you feel about the Pinot.
Thank you for giving it to me.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.